From the University of Vermont Continuing and Distance Education, we bring you student stories from the front lines of healthcare. UVM's post-baccalaureate pre-medical students are on the path towards a career in medicine. While they transition their schoolwork to remote learning during the coronavirus pandemic, they're also volunteering their time in a variety of health-related roles. We hear their inspiring stories as they tackle their coursework, help our most vulnerable in our community, and reaffirm their passion for medicine.
I think the hardest thing that has changed is how lonely the patients are. And a lot of these patients are older and have comorbidities, sometimes dementia, Alzheimer's, and that makes it even harder because they're unable to understand why they are in this position.
Joining me this morning is Carolyn Shrewsbury from her apartment in Burlington as she takes a break from her work as an LNA, and she is on McClure 6, which is the unit that is accepting coronavirus patients. Carolyn, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's talk about the work that you're doing. The reason that you're also an LNA and working in the hospital is because you are on a path to a career in medicine, and you just finished our post-bac pre-medical program last summer, and you've been working full-time. So what is the day like when you're heading into your work in the hospital? What is the prep, and what is the work that you're doing?
So I'll start a little bit with what it looked like before the coronavirus came to Vermont. I started my job as an LNA in October of last year, and I went through the program at the hospital where they actually pay you for 4 weeks of training and you get your license. And then you're hired onto a unit, which I was hired onto McClure 6. And I've been working full time as an LNA, which basically just means assisting nurses with any sort of personal care that the patients may need, helping with ambulation, bathing, that sort of thing. And I love working one-on-one with the patients. It's the little things in their day that seem to make the biggest difference, you know, getting out of bed, getting into the shower. It's those things that make them feel sort of more human, less like they're stuck somewhere and more like they're staying somewhere. And then our first patient came on March 11th, I believe. And we knew for a couple weeks before that we were going to be the unit that was accepting coronavirus patients. And our management has been tirelessly working in meetings every day, all day, discussing any changes that may come. So they prepared us a good bit. And our first patient came from the ED. I was there the day that they actually came up. And now it almost feels normal on the floor. Our entire unit is positive patients and rule out patients, or PUIs, patients under investigations, what we call them. So now it almost just seems like that's what we do now. And we have a very strong team on McClure 6, and I'm really happy to be able to work there. And I'm actually very happy to be able to work there during this time. I think it's fascinating and eye-opening. And I already had a large interest in epidemiology and public health. And so I sort of almost, in a way, am excited that I'm able to be exposed to this, however challenging it may be. So my role is a little bit different now. We're trying to limit the exposure of the amount of people that enter the rooms. So we're trying to limit to primary nurse only when possible. But, you know, we have several patients who are total care, who are comfort measures only in the last stages of their lives. And those are times where I sort of step in and help out the nurses. And a lot of my job now just looks like sort of answering call bells and bringing nurses what they need in the room. But like I said, total care patients do need more than one person to help them. So I am still getting a lot of patient care experience, which is invaluable. And I think the hardest thing that has changed is how lonely the patients are, because they are exposed to pretty much only that primary nurse as much as possible. And the nurse is in, you know, full gear. You can only see their eyes. And a lot of these patients are older and have comorbidities, sometimes dementia, Alzheimer's. And that makes it even harder because they're unable to understand why they are in this position. So that is probably the hardest part of my job right now. But it's also so rewarding when a patient comes back with a negative result and you're able just to enter the room and give them that result.
We don't get to see, you know, through the eyes of our healthcare workers too often. So this is really fascinating. The day that patient came up and you shared with us that now things are fairly systematic and feels more like a process, and you guys really have things as well as you can under control. What was it like, though, when that first patient came up and you happened to be there that day?
It was scary and sort of surprising to see reactions. We have a system of, you know, when a patient's being transported through the hospital, they come with security and two nurses in full PPE, personal protective equipment, and the ANC, which is the governing nursing body for the hospital. So it looks very sort of institutionalized and sort of like in this intense process. So to see that for the first time was sort of, that made it more scary. And not knowing the patient, and the patient is in a mask, and you sort of think, oh my gosh, this is like, this is really hitting us. But then I was able to go into the patient's room later and talk with him, and it just became much more normal again. Like, this is someone's grandfather, this is someone's dad. But seeing that for the first time, I think made it feel terrifying, honestly. And he was our only patient on the floor for a while. And I think because a lot of people weren't talking with him and weren't seeing him face to face, it made it hard to make it feel normal. So it took a couple weeks until everyone was sort of exposed to coronavirus patients for it to feel normal again.
Other post-bac students that we've talked to, either still in the program or are in the kind of growth year and applying for med school or other health professions, have talked about that what an interesting time to be in medicine, and that you are on the cusp of your career in medicine. How has this experience confirmed what you are trying to do in your path to become a doctor?
Great question. It's exciting. And I, every day, am actually excited to go to work. And not that I wasn't before, but this has just reaffirmed that medicine's ever changing. And there's always opportunity to learn, even if you are an MD and have really honed in on your trade for the past 30 years. You know, we see doctors that come to the floor and are asking us questions. You know, how do we handle this? How are we supposed to properly don and doff our, you know, PPE? What are these patients' fears? What is it? What do they look like? So that's sort of exciting to me as well, because I love learning, and I love the opportunity of there always being something new to learn and to understand. So that's been exciting. And, you know, sort of not getting into your rut of just, this is what I do. And then also, I've always been interested in epidemiology and public health, like I said earlier. And so this has been very interesting to see sort of how this has unfolded. And every day, something changes, and listening to the explanation behind, you know, the decisions that are put in place, been very interesting.
How are you doing? I can only imagine there's a level, as you said, of anticipation and excitement to go in to serve and to be there, to know that you're helping. But it's also got to be pretty stressful to know that you could also come home with something like this. And I don't know if you have family around or other folks that you're concerned about, but how do you take care of yourself during this?
I'm very lucky that we have a very strong team on the Clear Six. And because we are the unit that has been accepting patients from the beginning, we have been very supported by Dr. Leffler, the interim president, and the ANC, and everyone from the hospital has sort of reached out their arms to support us. So that has been unbelievable to watch that unfold. And I do have a very strong support system at home. And we have sort of the solace in knowing that none of our employees on the Clear Six have tested positive. So we are doing something right. We have access to masks and gloves and gowns and face shields. And there are always systems being put in place to make sure that that continues and that we are in a sustainable system of not wasting and reusing. You know, I'm confident in our ability to maintain this. And I think that that's sort of what's keeping me sane at the end of the day, is knowing that we're safe and we're taking the proper precautions.
How has your post-bac pre-medical training and school prepared you for this? Do you feel as though you have the tools necessary to step up to the front lines thanks to UVM's post-bac pre-medical program?
I do, definitely. Some of my coursework has, like microbiology and infectious disease, has really helped me sort of understand what exactly is going on. I mean, I think without it, it would seem much more terrifying, but understanding what's going on and learning about what medicines people are taking to help it, and sort of being able to understand how exactly those might work. That's where organic chemistry comes into play. At work, a lot of times I will spend a lot of time researching, understanding, oh, this patient is getting this medication. What does this medication look like? and how might this help? And asking a lot of questions. And that's another reason why I'm so thankful to be able to work at a teaching hospital, where everyone has been a student at some point and everyone's eager to teach and help spread the information.
Such a good point. Absolutely. And I know from talking with our post-facs in the past, the connection and the opportunity to be at University Medical Center during their post-fac time is invaluable. You know, you almost can't explain how much that really means on the path to medicine. So let's talk about that for a second. How did you end up here? I feel like our post-fac pre-medical students always have such unique paths to medicine. Walk us through your background.
I went to Virginia Tech. I'm actually from Virginia originally, and I studied crop and soil sciences. So I was very interested in agriculture and biofortification specifically. So I was interested in the human component of agriculture on a global scale. So that led me, my grandmother worked for the Peace Corps for 30 years, so she has several connections in Eastern Africa. And that led me to spend a couple summers in Kenya to study agriculture. And while I was there, I was staying at a safe house for young girls experiencing female genital mutilation and forced early marriage. So I had sort of like an interesting, fascinating cultural experience. And I went to a women's clinic one day and I just was blown away. And that led me to spend my second summer there focusing solely on women's studies and safe sex education and HIV prevention and things like that. And then I finished up my senior year and finished up my degree in crop and soil sciences and decided that I wanted to pursue medicine. And that led me to Vermont and the post-bac program, and I'm so thankful.
And it led you to McClure Sex in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic.
This has been a UVM student story from the front lines of healthcare with our post-baccalaureate pre-medical students. The post-baccalaureate pre-medical program is designed to provide students with a prerequisite coursework and access to research and direct patient care experiences prior to applying to health and medical school. Learn more at learn.uvm.edu.